It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America that the power and works of God lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. During the broadcast, we'll be offering literature which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise is sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona, and interested friends across this great nation. Now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? The truth of that verse of Scripture demonstrates the uselessness of all efforts by human beings to bring to naught the purposes and plans of the God who created the heavens and the earth. More and more Americans who are patriotic and who love America are concerned with the successes of those who hate our country and our Christ. Many actually despair for the future of our beloved nation, and some already warn of its coming destruction by our enemies both at home and abroad. But if we really believe in the power and sovereignty of God Almighty, we must admit that America will be destroyed, or America will survive, only as it is in God's plan. If we think the Reds and others who hate America can destroy us against the will of God, then we give them more power than God. And if we believe America's near future and her far-off destiny depend not on our enemies, but on God Almighty, then would it not make sense to search God's Word to find God's purposes and will in relation to this nation and the large number of His Christian people who inhabit it? I think it would, and I am going to spend this and the next few broadcasts searching God's Word for His plans and His purposes for the earth and for America. While you are getting your Bibles to follow with me, I want to offer our free literature packet for May. We offer our radio listeners a number of tracts and articles each month, free for the asking, when you write to me at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the May packet, or you can ask for the health packet, for most of this month's articles are related to your physical health and to that of the nation. Although our Bible study is not on health, I decided to offer this literature right at this time because we have collected some information on this. I can't cover it all on the radio. It would take hours, but we've got it in print, and you can have it for free. Since swine seem to be involved, we have reprinted about 20 pages from a medical book originally published in 1873 by a Dr. Edward Foote, and those 20 pages are on swine, showing how easily men get infections, worms, and diseases from eating pig meat. We have another article titled Pestilence in America, giving some statistics which prove what many of you suspect, that the health of the American people has badly deteriorated in the last 50 years, and we quote some Bible passages which tell us why. In spite of all the claims by the so-called medical profession about all their great improvements in our medicine, almost every American over 40 suffers from one or several ailments. Cancer and heart disease, both practically unknown in America a century ago, kill millions in their 50s and 60s, and now affect people in their 20s and 30s. Doctors treat cancer in several ways, but upon investigation, we find that about 90% of their cancer patients die within 2 years of the doctor's treatments. Now, these same doctors tell us they have a cure for this new disease which they can't even name. And some of us wonder if they do. So we have assembled some information on that, information which will startle many of you. It may make some of you angry, but we believe it will make you realize more fully how dependent we are upon God Almighty and how little we can depend upon men. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." God's law forbids Israelites making any cuttings in their flesh in Leviticus 19 and 28, and in Leviticus 21 and verse 5. And then, strangely enough, in Deuteronomy 14, the chapter on clean and unclean animals, God begins with this admonition: "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the people that are upon the earth." Then follows the law on clean and unclean animals, part of which forbids the eating of swine or even touching their dead carcasses, verse 8. But the admonition not to cut themselves is interesting, especially since the Hebrew word translated here, cut, means to gash and press in. You older folks remember that is the manner in which vaccinations are made. They actually punctured the skin a number of times and then worked in the vaccine into the flesh. Today, a needle vaccination does essentially the same thing. It gashes a tiny hole in the skin, then the vaccine is forced into the flesh and into the bloodstream. But someone is sure to say, "But Pastor Emery, God could not have been speaking against vaccinations or inoculations because they are modern practices." Not so. In the book, History of Inoculation and Vaccination, we find that the Hindus practiced a form of inoculation for smallpox as long ago as 1500 B.C. They cut their skin and rubbed pus from an infected cow into the cut. This and other superstitious religious rites have kept India the land of plagues for millenniums. From India, this ancient pagan practice spread to other parts of the world, and it is almost a certainty it was practiced in Canaan land before Israel came out of Egypt. It is still practiced today by non-Christian doctors and so-called health departments. That same Hebrew word is translated cut in only three other places in the Old Testament. In 1 Kings 18:28, in relation to the priests of Baal, and twice in Jeremiah, again in relation to pagan religious practices. If you think this is not serious, let me remind you older folks of something you already know but perhaps have never considered how significant it might be, and that is this: one group of people died in greater numbers than any other group in the 1918 flu epidemic: young American soldiers. These were boys in the prime of life, 18 years old, 19 years old, and in their early 20s. They were different from the rest of the population in two specific areas. Number one, they were supposedly healthier, being the pick of America's young men. And number two, they had all been injected with alien substances in a series of vaccinations just weeks before they took sick and died. Think on that before you run out and get yourself vaccinated for the so-called flu. And while you are thinking on it, sit down and write to Pastor Emery and ask for the material on vaccinations and on other health subjects. It is free. Ask for the May packet when you write to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and we'll repeat that address a little later on. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the letter to the Romans. Last week, as you recall, we read from the New Testament about the meat of the Word, about things Paul called the deep things of God. He called them mysteries, and so on. And we found in several places, including the last chapter of Romans, that these mysteries, these deep things of the Word, were revealed in the books of the prophets. Paul actually wrote here in verse 25 and 26 of Romans 16, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest or made known, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So Paul's gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ was to be understood through the revealing of these mysteries in the scriptures of the prophets. That would account for the reason why the New Testament epistles quote Old Testament prophets hundreds of times. Today, in Christendom, much of the so-called church doctrine is actually false because ministers are trying to make sense out of the New Testament without any sort of a grasp or knowledge of the Old. You would have the same difficulty in making sense out of any book if you opened it two-thirds of the way through, read the book, and tried to understand it. So, since the mysteries we are to know now after the death and resurrection of Christ have been locked up in the scriptures of the prophets, the logical way to unlock them to our own understanding is to at least read them. And that is what we will do during this and the next several broadcasts. I am going to take just one theme of the Old Testament and follow it through into the New Testament and show you how both fit exactly what is happening in the world today and in our own nation of America. The theme, or the subject we will follow, is what is God's purpose in the earth? In that, we will find just what it is God has said he is going to do with the earth. And since our nation of America is on the earth, we should find our future as a nation and as a people also. Now, you just stay with me. Even you folks who just can't wait to leave the earth in the rapture, you stick around and listen, because you just may hear some new things about the earth which will unlock some of the mysteries you have pondered on as to just what God is going to do with this old planet. First, turn to the book of Genesis. Paul said, "the scriptures of the prophets," and that would include the writings of Moses, for Moses is called a prophet many places in the Bible. You all know the first verse of your Bible tells us God created the heaven and the earth. So, although the religious songwriters today write almost exclusively of heaven, the earth does share billing in the story of creation. In fact, by the time you get to the 19th verse of the first chapter of the Bible, the Bible story then becomes, for practical purposes, the story of the earth. Heaven, of course, is mentioned several hundred times in the Bible, but it is usually in relation to God. Seldom are we told what actually is going on in heaven, but we are given a detailed account of events upon the earth. The first command from God to man has exclusively to do with the earth. It is in Genesis 1, verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it." In the next verses, he tells them of the food from the herbs and so on, and that he has given them the animals also. No mention at all of man in heaven. Chapter 2 is the story of Adam and Eve, Adam being formed of the dust of the earth, given dominion in the Garden of Eden, Eve then being formed, and they disobeyed and were cast out. You all know that the sentence of death for sin was passed upon Adam, and we read this in chapter 3 and verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There are a number of religious groups in Christendom which teach that man came to earth in spirit form from heaven, and that when his mortal body dies, he returns again into heaven. But there is no mention of that here by God Almighty, as recorded by the prophet Moses in this first explanation of death, only the statement that he would return unto the ground from which he was taken. Then the prophet Moses records the birth of Cain and Abel, and Cain's murder of Abel. In God's words here revealing Abel's death, we again find reference not to heaven, but to the earth. In Genesis 4:10, God said that Abel's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and the next verse he says that the earth had opened her mouth to receive Abel's blood. Chapter 6 begins the story of the flood of Noah's day, and as we read it, we find God brought on the flood because of the wickedness of men. In verse 6 it says, And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. No condemnation of the earth itself, only man and his wickedness upon it. Many today liken the deliverance of Noah from the waters of the flood to what they claim will be their deliverance in the end of this age by what they call the rapture. But their rapture is supposed to take them off the earth and into heaven, but Noah and his family were not taken into heaven, only protected alive upon the earth by the ark as the earth was cleansed of wicked men. God's act was to preserve the earth, not to destroy it. Chapter 11 is the story of the Tower of Babel and God's scattering of its builders across the earth and confounding their language. Here again, we see that God's act was carried out in order to preserve the earth, not to destroy it. There is a further revelation here which has to do with heaven. Verse 4 of Genesis 11 tells us the purpose of the men who began to build the tower. And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You'll remember we just read Genesis 1:28, that God commanded his creation man to multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. But here men said, No, we won't do that. We are going to build unto heaven, so that we won't be scattered over the whole earth. Man was attempting to frustrate God's will for the earth, and God stopped it. Now today, most Christian denominations teach and preach and write and sing songs about how they are going to heaven and are not going to stay on the earth, but here, in the first recorded attempt by man to reach heaven in the books of the prophets, we see that God immediately frustrated their purpose and drove them back into the earth. Now let me repeat again. You folks who have been taught for years that your desired goal and your promised reward is to go to heaven and to leave the earth, you don't turn off your radio when this preacher begins to read something which seems to oppose your beliefs. You stay here. You listen. For I am going to read God's own history of his creation man and the earth. Yes, I am reading this from the Old Testament, from scriptures for which many modern preachers show great disdain and derision, but we read last week from the words of Jesus and his apostles that the mysteries of God were revealed in the scriptures of the prophets. So you stay and listen. Today we have dozens of different philosophies taught about the future of man upon the earth, but very few seem to know about God's plan and God's purpose for His creation earth. If ministers teach that God is going to do something which God has no intention of doing, then their words are in error and are of no consequence. Likewise, what the God deniers and the God haters say they are going to do with the earth is of no consequence either. The only thing that matters, the only thing which will actually come to pass, is what God Himself says He is going to do with the earth. As our theme verse in Isaiah 14:27 says, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" If you believe in God, if you believe that God is sovereign, if you believe that God has the power to do that which He wills to do, and if you believe in the Jesus Christ who said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth," then you have every reason to try and learn just exactly what it is that God wills to do with the earth. And where else can you learn it but in the Word of God? So you stay with me. I am only attempting to prove what it is God Himself has told us He will do. And then when we see in a general way what God has created the earth for and what He intends to do with it in the future, then we shall search in a specific way for God's purpose in creating America and see what God intends to do with America in the future. To America's founding by Christian men, about America's churches and America's government being set up according to God's Word, for all of which we praise God, and I believe all of that. I believe God Almighty purposed that America would be discovered when it was, that it would be colonized by the white race by which it was, and that it would grow to be the greatest nation of all human history, which it is. I think most of my listeners believe that. Some perhaps only in a general and vague way, but I think most Americans believe God had His hand on America at its birth. If so, then the America in which we live was in the will and purpose of God. But today we have a growing number of people who are attempting to tell us that God has no further purpose in the America of the future. And this view of future history is being expressed mainly by what we would consider two separate groups of people. First, we have the left wing, the atheist, the socialist, and the communist, or the people we would lump under the heading of the Antichrist. They visualize and work for an America which would be just one nation in a great one-world confederation of atheistic nations. That is the goal which the communists openly proclaim, and that is the goal toward which our own left-wing rulers are working as they reduce America's power and transfer our wealth and power to the United Nations and to enemy communist nations. Secondly, we have a large portion of the professing Christian church which proclaims in sermon and in song, "This world is not our home, we are just passing through," and they tell us in hundreds of different ways, on thousands of radio and television broadcasts, that we are just waiting for Jesus to come and take a few of us off to heaven and turn the earth over to the Antichrist. So, the doctrine of the communists and the doctrine of much of the church is exactly parallel in its end. Both proclaim that the earth is to be ruled by anti-Christians and God-haters. Well, my time is almost up. Next week, God willing, we shall continue reading in the Old Testament about God's purpose for man and the earth. Paul tells us in Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. He was referring to the old Scriptures, for there were no other in Paul's day, and they are to be a source of learning and of hope, and we shall use them for that. Write to me for the free May Health Packet. My address, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. I'll send you that 20-page excerpt from the 100-year-old medical book on the diseases of swine's flesh, the article Pestilence in America, one on how the taking of blood is a cause of disease in the human body, and the 14-page reprint of a research book on vaccinations and inoculations. Some dear Christian listener may say, but Pastor Emery, don't you have any Christian or Bible books? Yes, we have. You'll receive a few of them in the packet, plus our list of about 40 books and tracts on Bible subjects. But this month is a special on your physical health, which is important too. As one man who spoke on health at our recent Bible conference here in Phoenix said, a sickly Christian is not really a good testimony of the power of Christ. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be sure and ask for the free May Health Packet when you write. The announcer will repeat my address in just a moment. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you, read your Bibles, and pray for Christian America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like America's Promise to continue on this station, write to us at Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, ask for the literature you would like. We'll also send you a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcast tapes, along with a current log of radio stations nationwide where you and your friends may hear America's Promise. This program can only continue on this station by your financial support. Our mailing address is America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Tell your friends about the broadcast, and thanks for listening.